Fusion City Church Online. Thank you again for joining us today. In just a few moments, we're going to sing together, worship together, and then you're going to hear from our teaching pastor, Brian. But before all that happens, I would like to take a moment to start us off with prayer today. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come together through technology. So God, I pray that we will focus as much as we can over the next few moments and to hear exactly what you would have to speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you'll change us, change our church. God, I pray that you'll change our nation. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. To see things like you do, God, I love you.
just what to do.
Well, hello, Fusion Church and Fusion family. It's good to be able to come to you guys again via church online and doing the video services again this week. And man, I'm so excited to continue our journey together through the book of Philippians. If you watched with us last week, Paul was talking about how excited he was about an eternity with Jesus and being at home with him in heaven. He said, I'm so excited about that. I don't even know if I'd rather have that or if I'd rather stay alive. Like, if I want to be with you as much, I want to be with you as much as I want to be with Jesus. Paul said, I'm kind of torn between the two. But then he goes on to say, you know, but I am here, and I'm here for a reason and for a purpose. And then that idea is what's going to launch us into the conversation for this week, because Paul goes on to say in verse 27 of chapter 1 in the book of Philippians, Paul says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for faith of the gospel. So Paul says two things here. Paul says, let your life be lived in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. In other words, quite simply, Paul says, live like you believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. And then he kind of reiterates this theme that we're going to see all throughout the book of Philippians, this idea of Christian unity, Christians being on the same page, on the same team, working together for the good of the gospel. And then he goes on, verse 28, he says, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. And here what Paul is communicating is that, you know, when we live like we believe in Jesus, that's going to look different than people who don't live like they believe in Jesus. That there are going to be people who view your life, and because of what you believe and because that causes you to live differently, that they're going to oppose you, that they're going to think differently about you, and they're going to think differently than you. And then Paul says, that's okay, because when you live your life different than them, that there's going to be evidence to them that there's something that they're missing, that when we live a life in a manner that's worthy of the gospel, that it makes those who don't have that belief system, it makes them aware of their condition. That when we live like we believe in Jesus, when we really live that way, that the way that we deal with stress and the way that we deal with anxiety and the way that we deal with difficult times, the way that we interact with our spouse, the way that we treat our kids, all of that stuff, that it's going to be evident to people who don't believe the same way that we do, that there's something that they don't have. Paul says it makes them aware of their pending destruction, and that's going to cause them to treat you differently. You're probably going to be a little bit isolated sometimes. You might get excluded from some of the invitations that you used to get, because when you choose to live your life in response to the gospel, other people are not only going to take notice, but quite frankly, it's going to make them feel a bit awkward around you, because they know that you believe differently and that you think about life differently to them. And that just makes people uncomfortable sometimes, so much to the point that they don't want to be around you. You're going to be isolated. You're going to be excluded. And then Paul goes on to say, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Let me set it up this way. One of my all-time favorite movies is The Princess Bride. When I watch it now, I realize that it's starting to get a bit dated. The footage looks a little bit old, but it's still, every time it's on TV, I have to sit down and watch it. I feel like I just have to. It's one of those movies that it doesn't matter how many times I watch it, I enjoy it. And one of the really funny parts of the movie is there's this little bald guy running around, and he keeps yelling out, inconceivable. You have to see the movie. And one of the other characters at a certain point in the film says, you know, you keep using that word, but I don't think it means what you think that it means. Sometimes when I read through scripture, I kind of get that same feeling. You see, this Christian journey that so many of us are on sometimes seems and feels very, very upside down or backwards. It's like the fact that Jesus came for us, that our King didn't require us to do all of these things to come after him, but that he came and met us where we are. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is preaching a sermon in like chapters 5, 6, and 7. And at the very beginning of that, Jesus is talking about how the least will be greatest and how the first are going to be last. And then he goes on to say something right around verses 11 and 12. He says, blessed are you when people persecute you, when people speak false against you because of my name. He says, you're blessed when people speak ill of you. You're blessed when people persecute you. Because great is your reward in heaven when you suffer for my sake. Wait a minute. Blessed am I when I suffer? Yes, it seems backwards. But in the economy of the kingdom, that's exactly how it works. And Paul, taking his cues from Jesus, says the same thing. In verse 29, Paul says, for it has been granted to you. It's been given to you. It's been gifted to you. It's granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Paul says, look, my life submitted to Christ, my refusal to back down, my boldness in taking a stand for the gospel, it keeps landing me in prison. I was in prison when I first met you. I'm in prison again. But it's been granted to me to suffer for the sake of Christ. Much in the same way that Jesus said, we're blessed when we suffer on account of him. Now, in Paul's day, it looked like prison, and it looked like being violently attacked for what you believe. In our day, most of us right now, we don't worry about the threat of prison because of what we believe. We don't worry about the threat of being violently attacked for what we believe. But our suffering right now may very much feel like isolation and exclusion when we take a stand for Christ. But that's what we should do. That's what we should be doing as followers of Christ, that we should take a stand, be vocal and bold about what we believe. Paul would argue, and I think he does here in the end of chapter 1, that following Christ should cost you something. There should be a price to it. There's a weight to it, a heaviness to being bold in your faith to Jesus. And it may cause people to look at you differently, but man, it should. We should look different. We should be thought of differently because of what we believe, because following Jesus causes us to live in a way that makes others aware that there's something missing in their life if they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And then Paul, kind of skipping down a little bit to the middle of chapter 2, Paul goes on to say this. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That is how we're called to live. That, yeah, we may be excluded. We may feel isolated. But ultimately, we are called to live differently because of what we believe. And doing so is going to make us shine as a light in the world. In the midst of a generation that Paul defined even then as twisted and crooked, I think now when we look at our world too, we could probably say that there's a lot of twistedness, a lot of crookedness. And Paul says, and God has called us to live a life in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. And doing so is going to cause you and me to be lights shining in the world. When we choose to take a stand for the gospel, to be bold in our faith. Now, as followers of Christ, we know that even when we take our stand, even when we make our points, that we're to do so in a way that's loving, that inspires and encourages people. But we have to take the stand nonetheless. So let me ask you again, in the same way that I believe Paul would ask you, what has following Christ cost you? As you evaluate your life since the time that you've come into a relationship with Jesus, how different does it look? Do other people respond to you in the same way that they always have? Or could you maybe define the way that you've been treated at times as suffering? You know, all through his letters, Paul equates believing with suffering. That when we feel as though we suffer for the sake of Christ, that is evidence of our belief. I think we could use that to make the same argument, that if I never feel like I've suffered, if I became a Christian and nothing has changed, if I became a Christian and nobody thinks differently about me than they did before because of the way that I'm living now in response to the gospel, if nothing has changed, if I haven't suffered at all in response to my belief in Jesus, maybe, just maybe, my belief isn't as strong as it should be, as it needs to be. And maybe there are some changes that I need to make in my life so that I live out the boldness of faith that Paul talks about, that Jesus talked about, that in response to my belief in Jesus, that I will at times suffer for his sake. Let's pray together. Father, this is my hope. That as we, as followers of Jesus, evaluate our lives, that God would be able to point to times in our life that our faith has cost us something. That in response to knowing you, God, you've called us and compelled us to live differently. And God, it's my hope that each and every one of us who have a relationship with you, that, Father, we would live our lives in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. That our behavior, that our interactions, that the way we interact with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, may God, all of that would be a testament to what we believe to be true about you and of your Son, Jesus. Father, would you make us a light to the world? Would you help us to shine brightly that others may see us and believe that there's something different about us, and that, God, that would cause them to give glory and honor to you. Father, help us to be bold. Help us to take a stand. God, give us the wisdom to do that in love. But, God, help us to do it nonetheless, because you're worthy of it. And, God, we are willing to count as blessing our suffering for the sake of the gospel. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. We hope that this content has inspired you, that you've had a chance to maybe reconnect with God in a chaotic world that we're living in right now. I do want to encourage you, make sure that you check out Fusion City Kids. You can see that on our website, fusioncitychurch.com/online. You'll see all the kids' content there for you and your kiddos, so take advantage of that. Until we see you again next time, I pray that you'll be safe and God bless.